D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. We are live inside Bridgestone Arena. The Nashville Predators wrap up their five-game homestand tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I cannot emphasize this enough. Puck drop at 6:45 p.m. Puck drop at 6:45 p.m. Pregame at 5:45 p.m. As always, right here on 102.5 The Game.
Which means,
yes,
P.O. bottoms in your seat at 7:40. Okay?
6:40.
Yeah. Be in your butt in that seat at 6:40.
So the NHL is doing its frozen frenzy. All 32 teams are in action, hence the unusual start time. So
yes,
6:45 p.m. puck drop for Predators versus Lightning tonight. Barry Trotz will still join us at the normal 5 o'clock hour. So Barry Trotz will join us at 5 o'clock. But a reminder, one more time.
Please do.
6:45 p.m. So if you show up at 7:05 and it's
late,
roughly halfway through the first period,
I
and you say,
you
hey,
in.
Nobody told me the game started at 6:45. Wrong. I told you multiple times, and I will continue to emphasize it. Puck drop at 6:45.
I will be at every entrance.
Okay.
To make sure anybody that comes in after will not get in.
I know you ran a fast 40 in your day. I'm not sure you ran that fast. Did anybody stay up to watch the World Series last night? 18 innings?
What do you think?
Willie did, of course.
Heck yeah.
I was sound asleep.
What do you know about me? I love baseball.
Yes.
So you're World Series,
it could have went 30 innings. Willie wouldn't have went to sleep.
Now, ask me if I stayed awake for all 18 innings. There's a couple innings I think was fading a little bit there. I was coming in and out. Like, wake back up, like, it's still going on. And I doze back off, get back up. Moved it upstairs at one point. It was still going. It was an unbelievable game. It really, that one needed to be like a Netflix six-part series and not one.
It lasted as long as
Netflix
six-part series.
Yes.
Nearly 7 hours.
Yes.
Freddie Freeman with the walk-off homer.
But this is the difference. This is why baseball is really a great product right now, because there's action. There's not the lag. Mm-hmm. There used to be, like, that was 18 innings. That was a doubleheader. Mm-hmm. If that went 18 innings way back before the pitch clock and stuff, that would have taken another hour and a half.
They'd still be playing.
Yes. But the emphasis on base running, the emphasis on keeping the game moving with the pitch clock, it's a much better product to watch. There were action plays last night. There were great throws, plays at the plate. There were great throws from first base to third base to cut down runners. There was Shohei Ohtani putting on another incredible show. By the way, what were they thinking? The Blue Jays in the seventh inning, you got the lead. They come out to talk to the pitcher. John Smoltz says it. Don't challenge him. He's already 3-for-3. He's hit a homer. He's hit two doubles.
Don't matter.
Don't challenge him. You've got the lead. If you walk him, hey, they got great hitters behind him, but it's Shohei Ohtani. First,
Coach, I can do it. I can pitch to him, Coach. Let me.
First pitch. Right down the middle. 98 miles an hour. Gone. Tie game. And that sends us into the extra innings.
Do you think the manager was like, man, we shouldn't have pitched it to him?
Honestly,
saw the ball go down.
They pretty much walked him every other time I saw. After that, they were like, take your base. But Schneider, the manager, I'm sure, is kicking himself, because he was probably like, we just talked about this. But he's probably like, I should have just not even let him throw it. Just put him on first base. Ohtani. Now, this is the thing. 18 innings last night. Ohtani, he's base running. He's running around the bases. He tweaked himself a little bit, maybe a hammy or something. He's supposed to pitch tonight. This is the world he's in. He's the greatest player maybe we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. He's going to play 18 innings last night and pitch tonight. Last time he pitched, 6 innings, 1 hit, no runs, hit 3 home runs. Hit 3.
So if anybody can do it, he can.
Yes, but that's going to be amazing to watch tonight.
It was also brought to my attention that Brad Paisley has sung the national anthem for four World Series games, all of which went to extra innings.
Yes, I saw this. I saw this. Now, but not just extra innings.
Game 2 of the 2017 World Series went 11 innings.
Right.
Game 3 of the 2018 World Series went
18 innings.
Wow.
Game 1 of the 2024 World Series went 10 innings.
Only
and then
10.
Last night, another 18-inning game for
two
Brad
Paisley. 18-inning games.
When you look at Shohei, do you think, like right now, that the distance between him and the next baseball player is greater than the distance between the best football player and the best basketball player?
I think yes, because if you were just telling me him as a hitter or him as a pitcher, it would be a different discussion. But what he does combined
exactly
separates from anything. It would be like if Travis Hunter were the best wide receiver and one of the best corners.
Exactly.
That's what the equivalent would be. It hasn't been done. Like Babe Ruth was a great pitcher for a while and then a great hitter, maybe the greatest hitter, and he was a great pitcher, but he wasn't combining
together.
And it was before color barrier and all that stuff too. You could throw that in there. But to do this in the modern game, nobody thought this could happen.
I know we have a lot of Braves fans around here. How do Braves fans feel about Freddie Freeman? He hits the walk-off homer last night. Are there complicated feelings from Braves fans about Freddie Freeman? I am not a Braves fan, so I don't know. Like, how are Braves fans who are watching the World Series feeling about Freddie Freeman doing as well as he is?
I can't really speak for Braves fans, but my view of it, from where I sit, they did win a World Series when he was there. So that helps, right?
Yeah.
And there was the weird emotional comeback when he came back. But I think there's like I wish we'd have kept him kind of thing. Matt Olson, who is from Atlanta, the after Freddie Freeman plan, is a heck of a baseball player. I could see why they did what they did. But they did pass on a special, special player in Freddie Freeman. So I think they were worried he wasn't going to age that well, and he has been banged up a little bit, but he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer.
Hey.
I don't know that Matt Olson is a Hall of Famer as good as he is. That's the tough. They went for the younger, less expensive. Probably analytics that had something to do with it, where they didn't give Freddie Freeman the extra couple years at that stage of his career. So there's probably a what if there and there.
I'm sure.
Scott from Shelbyville on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, that was an amazing baseball game, and it should be talked about the whole show. Best fielding I have ever seen. They should never pitch to Ohtani, even if the bases are loaded, walk him. Well, Scott, we do have other things to talk about.
We do.
But it was a fabulous game, or so I heard, because I fell asleep.
Hey, I ain't stay up either, so don't worry
about it. B-Man says, still pissed about Freddie Freeman. Thanks for reminding me, Adam. One texter, Jerry from Nashville, says, Braves fan here, I absolutely love that Freddie is tearing it up, especially the way that Atlanta did him well, the way his agent did him when it came to Atlanta. So, yeah, love to see Freddie being the hero.
It's hard not to like Freddie Freeman. He's just a classy player. Like, I couldn't. I'm not a Yankee fan. I can't stand the Yankees. But like a guy like Derek Jeter or some of their great players during that era, like Jorge Posada, they're classy players.
Exactly.
Andy Pettit, you know, those just guys you hard to hate.
Zach says, I relate the Freddie Freeman situation to the A.J. Brown situation. Not the same situation, but they are both players who should have never been let go.
Well, at least they got a championship with Freddie Freeman.
Yes.
A.J. didn't. We didn't get one with AJ.
Well, he did get a championship, just not with.
Yeah, not with
that's Tigers. That's what hurts.
Yes, that's
right?
What hurts.
That's what
hurts. Yeah,
yikes!
It's good for him.
Yeah,
happy for him, but it's like Tigers. Oh,
quickly, one unrelated sports note that I want to make. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I saw something earlier that just drove me nuts. It was retweeted into my timeline.
Oh my goodness!
Adam Gretz with a picture of what I assume is his local mall with the Christmas tree up and Santa's workshop up for all of the pictures. It's October 28th. What the hell? Wow.
Don't even get me started.
This is heinous. This is heinous. Christmas season starts on Black Friday, and not a moment sooner, I will die on that hill.
They're hijacking
I'll be with you on that hill.
I will die on that hill.
Thanksgiving.
It is Thanksgiving erasure. That is exactly
yes.
right. Thanksgiving deserves more love
exactly.
than it gets.
Absolutely.
So,
a Christmas tree?
It made me so mad. Oh. It's one of my random pet peeves.
It's coming, too. I mean, it's coming. It's a wave,
Oh, it's
man.
Coming fast. Yeah. People are putting their stuff out
yeah,
already.
It's coming out. I don't like it.
I was talking about this with my wife, who is on the other side of this debate from me, and I said, you can put up the Christmas lights, but you can't turn them on until Black Friday. They can be around the roof, but they can't be turned on. That's the compromise I'm willing to make. So no Thanksgiving erasure in the Vingan household, okay?
Well, if you get the lights early, they're cheaper too. So
yes,
that
well,
work it out.
I don't want to talk too much about that, but that made me angry. So
rightfully so.
You know who else makes people angry? The Tennessee Titans. They make people really angry.
I don't know if it's angry now.
Is
or
it past
it's,
anger
yeah,
now?
Past
and just
anger.
Kind of sigh. It's like just, what
did,
do you call
did
it?
Anybody see the
resigned
the note that Roger McCreary posted on X last night thanking the Tennessee Titans and more specifically the Strzok family for all they did for him. Not the Strunk family, the Strzok family.
The Strzok family.
What a journey it has been. To each and every one of you, thank you for your passion, loyalty, and time. I owe a debt of gratitude to the Titans organization. There are so many grammatical errors in this. Titans
Come
here.
Come on, Raj.
Titans here is
this
spelled.
This AI writing.
Titans is spelled
yeah,
T-I-T-I-A-N-S, the Titians. The Titians organization.
What?
To
the Titians.
To the
Titians.
Oh, the Titians.
The Titans. The Titans.
I think it's a.
The Titans. The Titans.
I think you might be onto something, Willie. The Titians. I'll go with Titians, but the Titians organization. To the Strzok family, Strzuck, the Strzok family.
The Strzok, the tiny and Strzok family.
It was a CK?
Strzuck, the Strzok family.
He didn't just leave the N out, he put a C
Roger
in there.
McCreary desperately needs a proofreader.
No, it had to be the
was
AI
it a voice text.
Yeah, it changed it over to.
It wasn't a voice text because it was on a graphic. Oh. It was a graphic.
But you can always put the graphic, like, make the graphic and then type inside the graphic.
Maybe.
Maybe he typed strunk and it put
strunk. Maybe it was autocorrect?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
It was probably autocorrect.
But then you should have reread.
Proofread.
Yes, you got to
reread. Do you think somebody in his family, like a brother, a cousin, aunt, uncle, like, Raj, did you see what you did?
You got it right.
I don't know what they call him in the family.
I'm
you
thinking
know.
Of what's happening when you say
Raj. Raj and Rerun and Dwayne. Yeah. Oh, man.
Chase McCabe on my personal text line says the Titians is a new club downtown. This is not what I meant to do. I didn't even notice.
Adam, it's always Adam that gets us into these pickles.
Exactly.
I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice the misspelling of Titans the first time around.
You know when the caller said you were what's it called?
Lex Luthor.
Yeah, you are. You're evil, man. Yes. You knew what you were doing.
I swear to you, I didn't notice that.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man. Oh, God. That was funny. All right. Anyway, we talked about this yesterday. The Tennessee Titans trading Roger McCreary to the L.A. Rams for a conditional fifth-round pick in 2026. It's the second trade the Titans have made over the past couple of months involving a starting corner. Because, as you recall, the Titans also traded Jarvis Brownlee to the New York Jets for a sixth-round pick in 2026. So we are all trying to figure out how the Titans are going to get better. And I'm not sure trading two starting corners for day three draft picks is going to do it. But I was thinking about this yesterday. I have a couple of questions. One,
yes.
Why are the Titans just giving away corners? Two, are we overvaluing corners? Three, are the Titans decision makers poor negotiators? These are three questions. And Willie, you brought this to my attention. David James, if you don't mind queuing it up. Willie, you brought this to my attention on our drive home from Kentucky yesterday, Mike Borgonzi did a news conference at the end of training camp after the 53-man roster had been submitted. And Jalen Armour Davis was one of the waiver claims. He was a popular target. I believe it was reported three other teams put in a claim for Jalen Armour Davis, but the Titans had the number one waiver priority, being the worst team in the league. So they got him. So Borgonzi was explaining his plan, I guess, for how they were managing the waiver wire. Here's what Mike Borgonzi said earlier this season.
An MSC cruise isn't just a vacation.
Was he talking about cruises?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah. But, you know, corners you can't have enough of. I know we have seven right now in the active, and, you know, we went heavy in the O-line. Those positions are tough once you get into the season. So there's a lot of roster gymnastics you have to do here at the beginning to try to, you know, keep some guys. And corners and offensive linemen, in my experience, have been the toughest, position group to really find during the season. So that's really the reason why we went heavy there.
So Mike Borgonzi, straight from his mouth, corners are hard to find, so let's give them all away.
They traded two of them.
Yes.
So you're down McCreary, you're down Brownlee. Snead's done, right?
Yes. Well,
Snead is done.
Yeah, I think they knew going in that they weren't sure what they were going to get from Snead. Mm-hmm. But this is what perplexes me about what they've done with the trade of Brownlee and now the trade of McCreary. And I would like to hear some follow-ups of the weighing, trading a corner for not a whole lot, Roger McCreary, who's been a steady player in his career. And as I said yesterday, if he were 30 or 31, I would completely understand it, and I would say, good deal. Take what you can get. He's going to get a raise, because corners get paid. It's hard to find good corners. So when you have one, ironically, the only guy left you've got from that draft, right, basically, besides Chig, what was the weight of this is what it will take to keep him versus this is what I can get in a trade? And then, of course, Brownlee, as we said, even younger, who they didn't get much for at all. So they didn't get a lot back for two guys who, by their own words right there, play a position that is extremely hard to find serviceable guys. And Brownlee and McCreary are not going to be confused with Lester Hayes and Mike Haynes from the 1980 Raiders, or just pick whoever you think were a great tandem, two shutdown corners. But they're good. You know, they're better than who's playing now. And you didn't get anything for them. And they're young. So that's what puzzles me.
You said, Adam, do we essentially put too much of a premium on defensive backs?
Right. Do we overvalue corners?
Ja'Marr Chase, Courtland Sutton, Jalen Waddle, Zay Flowers, Stephon Diggs, Ladd McConkey, DK Metcalf. And I didn't even get to the real Jefferson and all those guys. This is just an AFC. Nico Collins, T. Higgins, Alex Pierce. They had to deal with all Indianapolis this weekend. So when you say, are we putting too much of a premium, Michael Pittman, on defensive back, we ain't putting enough premium on defensive back. This is a passing league. On defense, it's essential that you have two things, a rush in and a corner that can cover. You need those two things in today's football. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you didn't need really a shutdown corner. There were some in the NFL, but you didn't need them like you need them now. There's not enough. You can't put enough of a premium on a defensive back because of the rules and the way the NFL is leaning. I'm listening to Borgonzi and Brinker at the beginning of the season. They are right. You can never have enough good defensive backs. But then you get in the season, you get rid of the two good defensive backs you get, along with the one that's hurt. And he's going to be out here in a minute anyway. So basically what you're saying is this season, you're throwing it away. You really are. So to me, what is your expectation of McCoy then, if that's the case? What do you expect him to do if you're going to continue to get rid of players. Who's next? Chick Okonkwo? Possibly. Some other guys on defense?
Arden Key?
Possibly. So you are each day or each game, you are eroding a roster that is already bad. And people are not going to argue too much because it's like, oh, you're trying to get picks. I get it. But you're not giving the guy that took the job by default, really, because you named him, but by default, you're not giving him an opportunity to do anything. So when the Titans lose, there's no reason to even ask McCoy, like, what do you think of this? You know, how can you get this team? What can you do? Well, I can't do a damn thing. They keep on getting rid of everybody, and then people getting hurt. What do you want me to do? I am trying to keep these guys motivated each and every day. That's all I can do. But bodies are dropping each and every day, and you sending people out the door. What am I supposed to do? He's set up for failure.
615-737-1025. We will take your reaction to the Titans trade yesterday, Roger McCreary to the LA Rams. Why are the Titans just giving away corners? Are we overvaluing corners? Derek doesn't think so. Are the Titans decision makers poor negotiators? 615-737-1025. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Jacksonville State tomorrow at 6:30. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and the Totally Hits Nashville.
Yeah, I just don't understand. There had to be something that nobody knows about with the Titans. Like, I do not get why you get rid of a guy on a rookie contract who is clearly this good. Just to give it a little behind the scenes of the locker room. So the locker room is wrapping up, and Tom Rock and I from Newsday are kind of waiting to talk to Brownlee because he had that last play. He's the last one in the locker room. Everyone else in the media already left. He's, like, taking his time putting on his jewelry and stuff, which is kind of funny. But he asks, at one point he asks, what time is it? And we say it's, like, 4:57. And he's like, oh, great, so I still have time to go watch the Titans lose. Like, he has that kind of edge to him, though. Like,
You need before, guys like that. That's a dog. That's what I was saying. Like, that's a dog.
Remember you and I talking about that earlier in the season, probably before he really started playing a role, where we're like, who is the guy in this defense that's going to, like the energy giver? You know, like Jermaine Johnson, you could say, was when he was hurt at the time. But other than that, you didn't have, like, a C.J. Mosley, a guy that was going to rally the troops and really just, like, set the tone. And it seems like he's that guy. Like, he has a lot of confidence. He says all the right things. He's really fun to talk to, just as, like, a guy in the locker room. And he's really thoughtful. And he loves being a Jet already. So I think he's a guy that he could be, like, a culture-changing type player. Not in terms of even – not saying he's going to be a superstar or anything, but just the way he plays football can be a really big boon for Aaron Glenn as he tries to find, like, his guys with this new regime.
That was Zach Rosenblatt and Connor Hughes on the Jets Final Drive podcast. Both Rosenblatt and Hughes cover the New York Jets. And Jarvis Brownlee, correct me if I'm wrong, had a pass breakup on fourth down to seal the Jets' win against the Bengals over the weekend. So when I heard that clip from Rosenblatt, Brownlee asked us what time it was, so he had enough time to go watch the Titans lose. I got a chuckle out of that. I do want Derek's thoughts on what they said, but before we do, I do want to give Roger McCreary a little credit. I did poke some fun at his grammatical errors. He did reply to himself and said, autocorrect, shrunk.
So at least he caught that one.
He tried to at least acknowledge the fact that he misspelled strunk. He did not acknowledge the fact that he misspelled Titans at one point. Mm-hmm. It could either be Titians or Titians. I prefer Titians. Willie said Titians. But, Derek, quickly, what did you make of their conversation on Jarvis Brownlee?
I would have liked for it to have been, you know, a little bit more. We all know if you've been watching the Titans, the likelihood of them winning is slim, and that's unfortunate. But I think what we should pay attention to is what was said prior to them telling about what Jarvis Landry said. I mean, not Jarvis Landry, but Jarvis Brownlee said about the Titans. Is that, and he's playing well with the Jets.
Yeah.
I think from a PFF standpoint, he's the highest ranked or rated.
He's up there.
Defensive back
since
on their
joining
team.
The
yeah,
Jets.
Since joining their team, he's the as far as coverage.
Right.
So he's doing a good job there. He hasn't gotten any pass interferences
That's the thing. Cut down on the penalties?
Cut down on the penalties.
But that's the question. Like, you let – or you chose to – you didn't even let. You chose to trade a young guy still on a rookie contract that can play. He just needed to find a way to stop holding. But it was to a point where I think with this team, he got labeled. And this team's not good, so – Anything that goes on or anything that's kind of, you know, in the middle, they're going to call it on the Titans, it seems like. So we saw good play from him while he was here, but what did we say? He has to cut down on the holding. If he cuts down on the holding, this kid can be, at least I thought, this kid could be a cornerstone in your secondary because he's young, he's aggressive, he's fast, he's physical. He's what you want from a defensive back. And he's a little crazy. That's what you want from a defensive back.
A little screw loose?
I have never known or never played with a good defensive back that didn't have a little screw loose. Seriously.
Yeah.
You can go down a lot of guys that I play with.
At least during the game. Right?
During the game, that's what I mean.
And sometimes after.
Sometimes.
But in practice, it didn't matter. They had an attitude. They had a chip on there. It was like they had that thing about them that separated them from everybody else.
Didn't Jarvis Brownlee have to be separated from Buccaneers fans during one of the joint practices in the offseason?
Yes, he did.
So there's that loose screw, perhaps.
But he's that guy. Again, I don't know what happened in the locker room. But believe me, if they felt that his talent, which they should have, I don't know why they didn't. But there must have been something else in that locker room that was going on. Because if you look at him and watch him, honestly, he's the most talented defensive back they have. Really. If you look at it. I know Snead, he has, he's been in the league for a while. He's a vet. He understands it. And he was a good player in Kansas City. But if you're talking about just a raw individual, he was the best defensive back they had on their team. Because, again, he had all those things that you want your defensive back to have. He just needed to cut down on the holding. That's why whatever went on in that locker room, they couldn't handle it. Like, everybody was tiptoeing around Jeffrey Simmons, but y'all couldn't handle Jarvis Brownlee. But y'all tiptoeing around everybody else. When they do something, it's, oh, no, we ain't going to say that. But y'all get rid of this guy. Y'all ain't going to get rid of Jeffrey. I know that. Y'all have said it. But y'all get rid of a guy that can play, a guy that's young, still under a rookie contract when y'all ain't have nobody. Y'all came out and told us that lie. Well, we got people behind them that's ready to go and they can play. Well, show them to me because I ain't seen any one of them.
Let's go to Colin on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Colin, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I just got a question about.
Well, we lost Colin.
Colin, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
You're breaking up, but go ahead.
Hello. Hey, sorry, guys. So, anyways, appreciate you taking my call. I got a question about. I know they drew a line in the sand with Jeffrey Simmons.
Hey, Colin, call us back.
You're breaking up. I think he was going to ask about Jeffrey Simmons drawing a line, not trading him.
Is it time for our weekly segment, Chiding the Titans for Not Considering Trading Jeffrey Simmons? Willie, do you want to do the honor?
If you'd like. I mean, you could just hit, replay from last week. I don't feel any differently. It still bugs me. Mm-hmm. And what bugs me is not that you're saying, well, we may not trade Jeffrey Simmons. We may elect to keep Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. But to say we are not trading Jeffrey Simmons makes zero sense to me. To say don't even call us with an offer. You don't know what is around the corner. Now, they may have a different philosophy than I do about what Jeffrey Simmons will be when that new stadium opens, which is you're hoping, best case, you might have a chance to have a better foundation of a new core, new roster. Barry Trotz is going to sit right where you're sitting at 5 o'clock, Derek, and what is he going to talk about? He talks about it every week. We are in the process of building a new core. He's telling everybody, and they're not ready today, and it's going to be a process. And there's going to be some winds in the road. It's not going to be linear. But I think it's a tough sell to think that you're the best pathway to a better roster includes keeping Jeffrey Simmons and not even listening to what you might get along the way for a guy that has the best trade value, not even close. That is my fear.
So the Colin called back and he wanted me to ask a question, which was with Ed Oliver being out for the Bills, do you think that would actually change what the Titans want to do with Jeffrey Simmons since the Bills want to go for a Super Bowl?
That I mean,
you got to start at the top. That's the thing I'd want to know is, have they told Mike Borgonzi from the top, Amy on down, don't trade our most recognizable player?
It seems like that.
Besides Cam Ward,
it seems like that's they're all in agreement that Jeff is not being traded. At least in public, they are. Listen, there's going to be more teams right before the trade deadline that need defensive tackles. Either to bolster theirs because they want to go when they go on the playoff run, or they've lost a guy like Ed Oliver with Buffalo, and Buffalo needs defensive players. So Buffalo may make that call again and may, offer a little bit more. But she's doing with Jeffrey like she did with Derrick Henry. I am not trading him. Now, they didn't sign him back. I get it. They knew this was going down and going down fast, I'm sure. But she was not trading Derrick Henry. Last year, we were like, man, they need to they can get a lot for him. They did not want to trade him. They're treating Jeffrey Simmons the same way. They're no matter what, he is not going to be traded because he's that one piece on a defense that is not good. And I hope this is not true. And they're unsure about Sweat.
That's the next guy. That's the guy I'm worried about.
He's been injured.
Going down the path of Brownlee and some frustration. That is a big one. They cannot let that happen. What happened to Brownlee cannot happen to Sweat.
Exactly.
They have to make sure.
So you got to keep a guy like Simmons. You have to.
We will get to Tavondre Sweat because we did have an interesting conversation yesterday with Teron Davenport about Sweat. But 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on the Titans and the NFL trade deadline 1 week from today. Who else could be heading out the door within the next 7 days, joining Roger McCreary and earlier this season, Jarvis Brownlee? 615-737-1025. By the way, Predators fans, we do have tickets to give away for their game on Monday against the Vancouver Canucks, who were just here. They'll be back on Monday. So listen.
Why didn't they just play two games in 3 days here?
Good question.
I don't know.
Good question. But we will have we will give you the opportunity to win those tickets later in the show. So be listening for the cue to call. 615-737-1025. DVD is brought to you by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at BAXHomeworks.com.
The Titans also delivered, for the most part, what I expected from the Titans today. I don't want to watch the Titans play football anymore. I feel like Titans fans don't even want to watch the Titans play football anymore.
I don't really want to think about the Titans.
No, nothing about the Titans is appealing. Cam Ward was a little exciting to start the season, but now he just gets sacked so many times and his team, like I you can't really judge Cam Ward because every single game it feels like you turn on and the Titans are down 20 immediately.
Yeah.
And he gets sacked a bunch, and they're always behind on down and distance. So I'm going to reserve my judgment for Cam Ward. I'm not going to be harsh on him. I just don't really want to see them play football anymore.
So I don't listen to a lot of Pardon My Take, but I completely agree. I said that yesterday. I wish I didn't have to watch the Titans anymore. They don't have to. We do. But they spoke to me in that clip. I don't want to think about the Titans, talk about the Titans. Of course, that's what we do right here. But I totally get it. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan continuing to take your thoughts on the Titans ahead of the NFL trade deadline a week from today. And during the break, this was retweeted into my timeline. An interesting tweet from Peter Schrager, ESPN NFL analyst. We're talking about Jeffrey Simmons, right? And how the Titans have put it out there to multiple insiders. He's off limits. Peter Schrager says, quote, "A lesson I was taught years ago on the NFL trade deadline. Unlike the MLB or NBA, viable big names aren't dangling on some imaginary list for weeks in advance. The notable big players that teams are calling on are being told no today. After Sunday, it picks up and teams bend." So could we see the Titans bend early next week?
If I were Mike Borgonzi, I would go. I would be talking to people within who are whoever is. And heck, for all we know, it could be Borgonzi that's saying, "I don't want to trade him." But I would be having meetings and telling people it's time to bend. Let's get a yoga instructor in here or something. let's at least consider it. Why? I would consider it. It's like Robert Duvall, Tom in The Godfather. He would always plead with Michael Corleone, "Michael, just consider this. Just consider it." And Michael Corleone goes, "Tom, I got you." He basically was like, "No." Considered and denied.
Let's go to Dustin in Hopkinsville on our phone line. Dustin, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hello. We can hear you. I'm just saying hello back.
Hello to you, Bat.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, so you were talking about Jarvis Brownlee, and I keep thinking this. They're telling us nothing. They said that he wasn't good for our culture, and I've told this before. It's a losing culture. They fired Brian Callahan after that, correct? It wasn't before the trade,
yes,
right?
Exactly. Brownlee was traded before Callahan was fired.
Yeah, and I just think that he's a lot like myself. That I am who I am. I'm going to say what I'm thinking. There's not much filter there. Guys at work sometimes get annoyed with me, but like I tell them to their face, you know, what I think. And he seems like a funny guy, a creative guy, just a guy who's a dog. And they couldn't handle him because he got tired of the dang losing, and he's probably calling it out. So I think that he's going to be a future star in this league at corner. The flag that he got 2 to 3 years from now, it'll be like the Patrick Mahomes effect where they're like, "Oh, he don't get those calls, blah, 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 because he's a star."
Thank you for the call,
is that
Dustin.
Me echo?
Let's get to some of your reaction on our text line, 615-737-1025. On Jeffrey Simmons, one texter says, "It would make sense to keep him if they're getting returns on the players you're trading, not just a bag of footballs. That's literally zero help, and then your roster is even worse." Kyle says, "My wife laughed at the Titans declaring that they aren't trading Simmons but are open to trading. Who is left? The only two worthy are Cam Ward and Big Jeff." And to both texters' points, the Titans don't have really anybody else on the roster who will get you what Jeffrey Simmons can get you. Now, if there was another player, another top flight wide receiver, for example, Calvin Ridley's not getting. What do you think a healthy Calvin Ridley gets you in a trade, Derek?
Fifth round, fourth.
That's it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up a third round.
Arden Key's probably a day three draft pick. Chigakonkwo's probably a mid round draft pick. The only way the Titans are going to get the types of picks that they can use to get better is by trading Jeffrey Simmons. And I know that you can use late-round draft picks to move up. That's important, too. But with the Titans declaring through every NFL insider that Jeffrey Simmons is off-limits, what's the old saying, cutting off your nose to spite your face?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's kind of what it is, right?
Yes, and this is another thing that I have brought out many times, but I want to make sure people understand my argument if you've heard it in bits and pieces. Jeffrey Simmons, even if he has an injury-plagued rest of the season, which he might, which would be, by the way, the third straight year that he's been plagued by injuries and missed some time, which also tells you that there's starting to be some wear and tear on the body, which is normal for guys his age. So you've gotten the best Jeffrey Simmons there is. Can he sustain it? Well, not only does he have to sustain it for it to be worthwhile keeping him, you're going to have to continue to pay him premier dollars. He is going to command big dollars. It's not like he's a bargain in his current contract. It's not like an NHL contract where maybe you've got the guy locked in for three or four more years at a reasonable price. He's expensive now, and he will be able to rework his deal, which is coming. He's got a new agent. I mean, there's all of these reasons why his value will not be this high going forward. So you've got to be locked in and saying Jeffrey Simmons is going to be a Titan till the end, and he'll be like Jarrell Casey was in three or four years from now, where he's still a steady contributor, expensive, but a mentor to younger players. Is that worth, is that better than seeing what you could get if you could get a first with maybe a second or third thrown in there? I think you have got to consider it.
I would be surprised if they traded Jeffrey Simmons. Now, listen, after this weekend, a lot of things can change. I get it. And a lot of – there could be a few teams that, you know, offer up even more than what they previously offered. But I don't think the Titans are going to do that, especially if Jeff comes back. It doesn't seem like this is a major injury. If he comes back and continue to play well. But don't be surprised, because he still has a year under contract. And they're going to be negotiating that contract pretty soon. And rightfully so, because you don't want him to play, and he doesn't want to play on a final contract, because anything could happen. But don't be surprised if, because this is sort of what happened with the A.J. Brown thing. A.J. had 2 years left on his contract. They weren't going to trade him during the season, no way, no how. And they end up trading him when? During the draft. Don't be surprised if Jeffrey Simmons is traded during the draft. Not now, because especially if there may be a little contention as far as, you know, how much you get up front or not, and not so much the AAV. If it's about him getting a lot of money up front, the Titans may decide then his price is still high going into the draft. We can trade him now, still get what we're going to get if we traded him during the season, and we don't have to deal with the contract. Somebody else is going to sign him to a new contract. Don't be surprised. Yeah, we're not trading him now. He's off the table right now. Nobody, don't call me. But they didn't say they wouldn't trade him, period. So if he's not traded before the trade deadline, don't think then, oh, Jeffrey's here. He's going to say, no, he may get traded during the draft.
I would just play the other side. If I'm the other team, I would say, well, that's great. Mm-hmm. You're not going to trade him to the draft. My team's in it now. I'll pay you more because I want him for this playoff run and next year and the year after, et cetera. So that.
But Jeff don't want
to
get traded.
You have to weigh that.
But Jeff don't want to get traded.
But you're shutting the door. You're shutting the door for me even giving you that offer.
No, you're right. But if I'm Jeff and his representatives, it's good. Okay, if they do trade me, it's good that I'm going to a championship caliber team. But I may not be on that team after the playoffs is done. They may look, because I want a contract, they may look to move me again. So, listen, if he doesn't get traded now, and I don't expect the Titans to trade him, if I'm Jeff and his team, I'm like, okay, cool. It's no sweat off my back. Yeah, do I want to be on a winning team? But I'm staying here. I'm going to play ball. But come the draft, that's when we really going to see what they truly feel about Jeffrey as far as him being a part of that new generation of players that are going to go into the new stadium.
Quickly, let's go to Tom on our phone line. Tom, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Guys, you brought up some great points, and I may have lied to your producer because I told him I wanted to talk about Cam Ward, but I think it's a complete injustice. By the time we're good, Jeff Simmons is going to have wasted his time here and a chance of being, you know, an all-pro constantly. But I think you're overlooking DK as being a solid asset to this team and what he's done as far as all-purpose yards and, you know, a young Derek Mason, maybe, going forward. But I don't look at Cam Ward as an asset for the fact that we still have the same problem as we always have, we have a quarterback that holds on to the ball too long and takes too many sacks. We can say everything that we want to about the offensive line, but I spent most of the day Sunday counting it off. And, I mean, guys are open. He's being flushed and, you know, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12 seconds. So I'm just going to hang up and listen and see what you think about that.
Thank you for the call, Tom.
Thank you. He's right about DK, and we've been, you know, mentioning and talking more and more about DK and how he's honestly been, since he's gotten into the game, he's been probably the one of the brightest spots on this team because his ability to return, the return game is much better. Now that Fossil is the coach and he's back there returning, it's a threat for him to go the distance every time he touches the ball. Every time DK gets the ball, I think he's going to the house. That's a good thing. And I'm sure everybody else that plays the Titans feel the same way. This kid can go the distance if you don't, and he runs through tackles. So he's right about DK. He's one of the young, bright spots they have on this team, and they need to make him more of a focus moving forward. As for Cam, listen, we've talked about it numerous of times. The offensive line hasn't played the way they needed to play. He has been slow at times with getting to his progressions. But he's also done some things that, had he had a better line, it would have looked a lot different in regards to his play. Does he need to get better? Yes. Does he need to take those sacks? And a lot of those sacks, well, some of them, not a lot of them, some of those sacks could have been avoided if he would have just ran a football. If he would have just ran a football, he would have avoided a sack. It would have been a yard game, maybe a 2 or 5, but he would have avoided the sack. So holding on to the ball, trying to make a play down the field, the more I'm hoping he gets out of that. I'm hoping he starts to learn that, hey, listen, if there's an opening after a couple of seconds, I'm gone. If there ain't nobody open, I am taking off and running. So I get that.
I'm very concerned about that mobility trait and lack thereof. He's not strong at escaping. And so there's explosiveness and strength, not just straight-ahead speed, involved in shuffling through the pocket, getting through that wave, and changing a sack into either an extended play for a throw or a run. He and Charles Davis and Jason McCourty, I think, really started zeroing in on it on Sunday, and we've been seeing it for weeks.
615-737-1025. We see your calls and texts. We'll get to them next. I also want to bring up an interesting column I read about Vanderbilt. Someone trying to poke holes in the Commodores college football playoff logic. I thought it would be interesting to discuss on the air. We will also do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.